tell me to what you pay attention, and I will tell you who you are. All this is about what I'm going to talk about today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I wonder how many times I haven't paid attention. I'm sure forgiveness is needed from me. So today, we turn our focus towards you, towards your word this morning. I do ask for forgiveness for past inattention. And I ask for a clearing of all that would demand our attention to other places. That each one of us would lay down our concerns, maybe even of the boredom that life can bring, where we zone out. We can just lay it down. Lay down and aside our anxiety, our cares, everything that floods our minds today, even the hurts about things people have said and done this week and in the past. I ask for a fresh breath of your Spirit to come and be upon each one of us. A mighty rushing wind. I believe, Father, it is your breath, the very Ruach of God, that brings the presence and brings the kingdom. That mighty rushing wind that would blow through this place and light us all on fire. As always, we say, it's your kingdom, and your kingdom come, your will be done. That the words that are spoken would be heard, that they're just from you. Not necessarily what I say, but what Holy Spirit is speaking. The anointing of the Most High God would be upon each one of us, and in each one of us, to receive what you have for us today. That you would speak, and we would hear. Devil, you get on your side of the line. You have no purpose here. Get out. In Jesus' name. Amen. I titled today, the word for today, Take Heed. Take Heed. Going to read the scripture reading for today is out of Psalm 119, the 9th verse. And it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I have what I believe the Lord's told me. This is to be a word of encouragement for the days ahead. A word of encouragement. A word of encouragement because I believe we're all going to need it. Take heed. Who can get bogged down when you're reading a long scripture such as Psalm 119? You know, really bogged down. Psalm 119 is 176 verses long. It is literally 3.5 pages in this Bible. A double up printing, 3.5 pages long. So I'd make it about 7 pages long in a standard Bible that's got standard print. It was probably a whole scroll by itself, Psalm 176. You know, I can get glassy-eyed. I can lose my focus. And what happens when we do that? We just read words. Done that? Have you ever sit down and read scripture, and pretty soon you're just reading the words. It can happen. You know, scholars don't even agree that David, King David, was necessarily the author of this, though the general consensus it is. What they do agree on is that this psalm wasn't written in one setting. but rather that it's a collection of thoughts over the years. And it was maybe put together, maybe even after King David died. There may be other thoughts in there. It's an acrostic poem. You know what an acrostic is. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And Psalm 119 has 22 units or sections. And each one of those starts with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. 22 of them. And I think, you know, maybe if I just read it a section or a unit at a time, those who are intellectually challenged like me, I might get a little more from it. Don't judge. Taking heed. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God. The word taking heed is shamar in the original. And it's a verb. It's an action word. And it means to keep, to guard, to observe, to give heed. How hard was it for you to pay attention when you were young? Or maybe even now? To focus your attention. When we're younger, you know, our minds aren't so cluttered up. We haven't got all this life that we've lived cluttering our mind. It just comes in. And, you know, I've noticed one thing about young people. They can really focus in on something, not necessarily something they should be, or maybe something that I could say is maybe not profitable. But they're really able to focus in when they find something they're interested in. And it just seems kind of humorous to me. Psalm 119, just 9 verses of the 176 in, says, by taking heed to your word. Young man, young woman, here's how you can keep your life clean. Just take heed to God's word. All 176 verses of them, of this. You know what? He's not kidding. He's not kidding. Take heed. You know what tempted me when I was younger certainly doesn't tempt me like it did. I can still be tempted by things but drawn away. And I'm sure all of us can be. Our style of living in America, our culture, our style, it's just full of temptations. It just is. You know, what's amazing to me, if you ask a young person, I'm talking somebody maybe in middle school or high school, what they would really love to do when they get older, you know what the response is? They want to be an influencer. An influencer. You know what that is, maybe. That's a person who spends a lot of time trying to get somebody else to watch a video or pay attention to what they're promoting. What they want to do is they want to tempt other people. Am I right? That's it. To be tempted. You know what one of the names of our enemy is? The tempter. The devil himself is called the tempter. Amazing, isn't it? The importance of watching, taking heed to his word. Luke, the 21st chapter, verses 33 through 36. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version here. Jesus says this, probably one of the most important scriptures in all the Bible, verse 33. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. All you influencers out there, you want to influence people? Here's a great thing to influence them. Tempt them with the word that Jesus said, because they're forever. Who has trouble getting truth today? Yeah. 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare. Everybody knows what a snare is, right? You have this device that will catch what you're trying to catch, like an animal. And you put some bait just on the other side of the snare. And the animal will go into it and get caught and trapped. You see, this is what he says. For it will come as a snare, the end. It will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. I think that includes us. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man, lest your hearts be weighed down. You see, the things that tempt us can weigh us down. Who knows what a heavy heart is? Who's had a heavy heart? Most of us kind of consider that. Maybe when somebody's bereaved, when they've lost a loved one, she's got a heavy, heavy heart today. But it includes much, much more. You see, Jesus was talking about these things, carousing, drunkenness, cares of life, can weigh our heart down. The King James calls it overcharged. Your heart, life can become overcharged. You see, Jesus' culture in that day, he was speaking to them. They had the same problems. People were carousing. They were getting drunk. They were getting weighed down with the cares of that life. They're paying attention to only what their own personal desires and wants were. You know, I'm almost taking this scripture out of context. I really am. Because if you back up the verse prior to 33, it's 32, and it says, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things come to pass. You see, he was speaking also of a specific time. It was an urgent call to action. Jesus was calling all those who were hearing him to action, to pay attention. The annihilation of the country of Jerusalem and Israel was soon coming to pass. That generation was not going to end before all that he was talking about. He told them often in many different ways, in many different words, that things were going to change drastically soon. How many paid attention to his words that day? Not many, huh? He told them this, and he's telling us this. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. For many who had heard Jesus speak that day, their world as they knew it was going to be destroyed. You see, the Romans were going to come in and it was going to level Jerusalem, AD 70. Just absolutely level it. And they were going to completely take over. They were just done with dealing with the Hebrews of the day. Some would escape that destruction that day, but life was going to change. Those who were getting drunk, those who were spending their lives with the cares of that life, carousing around, their life was going to change drastically if they survived. How many know God's words are logos? They're written, and he breathes through them. But there's also what? Rhema, the spoken, living word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's in you. I have a story. Seems like I'm more of a storyteller than anything, doesn't it? But I have a story, a testimony about Sarah and I's life. It's a rhema word we received. It was the early 80s. For some of you, you say, well, did they have cars back then? But it was the early 80s, and Sarah and I were really just getting our feet wet, you know what I mean by feet wet, with the thoughts and the understanding that Holy Spirit can speak to us and actually give us guidance for our life. We just really had found out about this. You see, prior to this time, we believed in Jesus. We went to church. We tithed. We did that. And then the rest of the time, we just tried to do what we thought was right. We'd work. We were trying to raise an ever-growing family at that point. And with the time left over, we'd just go try to find some ways to have fun and enjoy life. I was walking down the aisle of what was Westinghouse, the factory over there, that rusty bucket's what we called that rusty building. And I was walking down the aisle in the factory one day, and I heard these words pretty plainly, out loud. I want you to go to seminary. I almost fell down. I thought, what in the world? Why would the Lord want me to go to seminary? Well, it wasn't very long later, he said, I didn't say seminary, I said seminar. Don't judge. But it was shortly after this that we got an invitation from CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, 700 Club, in the mail. And they were inviting us to a conference, seminar, over a weekend. I think it was a three-day event, fully paid. All we had to do was get there. They had a really nice place, motel, hotel set up for us, three meals a day, just come. And we had two very young children at the time. And Sarah's mom was so gracious to agree to keep them so we could go. Just the two of us. Any of you raising children or have raised children, you know what it's like when you have young ones. It's a rare day. But anyway, she kept them. And so we'd never done anything like this. We'd never packed up and gone. And if I'd asked those people that I was hanging out with and we knew at the time about whether we should go do this or not, they'd say, why would you go do this? Why would you go spend 3 days and sit in meetings you don't have to go, you know, to church for 3 days? You got church here. You can go every week and just go. They'd said, don't go. But we believed that God had called us to this weekend, to this big three-day event. Who knows, it's amazing how God can orchestrate things. He can just do it. We drove the 20-plus hours straight through to Virginia Beach, Virginia. And we got there, and what an amazing weekend we had. I mean, what an amazing weekend. We watched an actual showing of the 700 Club. We got to meet all the people who you could see on TV, who you would see on the show. We even met, at the time they were doing a Christian show. I think it was considered a Christian soap. We got to meet those actors while we were there. And we had some special meetings with Pat Robertson, did some of them, and some other ministers spoke. And so you might ask me, so what did God do? Here's what he did. Do any of you know ever heard of Harold Bredesen? No, probably not. He's passed now. Harold Bredesen was one of the most joy-filled men you'd ever want to meet in your life. It just bubbled out of him. And he ministered in one time, and he had an absolute gifting for the infilling of Holy Spirit. I mean, he had a gifting. Do you know he was raised Lutheran? He was a Lutheran minister. And I don't know if you know it or not, but Sarah was raised Lutheran. And she received the infilling of Holy Spirit that weekend under Harold Bredesen. It was so easy for her to receive under this man. She identified with him as he spoke. What a wonderful thing it was. And the worship, we'd never set in Spirit-filled worship. Do you know how blessed we are to sit here every week, to come in here and get to sit in Holy Spirit-filled worship? Oh my goodness, people. This worship team, this, wow. And you guys come, you bring Holy Spirit with you. It's just amazing. We'd never sat in that. We'd sat in hymns and maybe a special. That's what we'd sat through. Sarah, on the way home, wanted to pack up and move to Virginia Beach. Literally, she really did. I'm serious. So you might ask, well, what about you? Well, Pat Robertson ministered one time, and the crowd was hundreds, and he spoke and did some teaching, and then at the end of his teaching, he had words of knowledge. And he had a word of knowledge about migraine headaches. And somehow, I knew. Don't ask me. But I knew that word was for me. I think I've testified about this before. This was in the 80s. None since. Not one migraine headache since. And I had them bad. That's what God did. You see, all this was because we heard his word and we're obedient. Obedient to pack up and go. We could have ignored all of it. We could have just passed it off. It was really inconvenient for Sarah's mom to keep two young kids. But she graciously kept them. It was a long way out there. It wasn't convenient for us to get off work and go spend that time out there. We'd never done anything like that. It was so far out of our comfort zone. So far out. But we decided God had called us, and we went. Look what he had planned. What an amazing weekend. This began a season for Sarah and I and our family, going to seminars, going to concerts, going to conferences, and hearing the Word of God. Benny Hinn Crusades, Christ for the Nation Institute had stuff going, and we'd go to those gatherings. More Sorello conferences. We'd go and get filled. Totally changed our lives. Turned it upside down. Just, we were arrested by the presence of God. We'd never experienced anything like it. And I have this to say about that. Psalm 34:8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Be encouraged. How Jesus speaks to us, taking heed to his word. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. New King James. Excuse me. He says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He hadn't been given yet. Holy Spirit came on what day? Day of Pentecost. I will not leave, verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I believe that day I was walking down the aisle in that factory and I heard those words. I believe that was a messenger angel that day that spoke to me. God knew I was too hard-headed and hard of hearing to hear him speak at that point with my walk with him. But I wouldn't do it if he just spoke that way. Don't judge. I believe we all hear Holy Spirit a lot. We hear him a lot. But a lot of the time we're thinking that that's our own thought. That's our own imagination, or we just plain ignore it. But he promised in verse 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Orphanos. I will not leave you orphanos, bereft of a father, of parents, of mothers. Most of those people were speaking to that day, they had parents, didn't they? Yeah, they did. They had parents. He was speaking of a spiritual parent. They had no spiritual, you see and tell that, they had no spiritual parent to guide. What does Scripture say a parent should do for their children? Train up a child in the way he should go when he's young. Yeah. We're to nurture them, to guide them in everything that they do, to love them, to give gifts to them. That's what we're to do. Holy Spirit is our spiritual mother and father. She truly is. Who can still hear the words of their parents in their head? I know most of us hear that. I brought you in, I can take you out. But most of us can still hear mom and dad saying things to us. You know, don't step on a rock son that's got moss all over it. You'll just slip right off, get hurt. You know, don't go too close to the edge. You'll fall off. You shouldn't do that. Just all kinds of words. But until we accept Jesus as our Savior, we're orphanos spiritually. How easy is it for orphans to be abused? Pretty easy, isn't it? Those who aren't fortunate enough to have a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa willing to do that. You know, I can kind of speak about that, what it's like to not have a physical father when I was a teenager. Lost mine at 13. And that's a pretty crucial age for a young man. And it was tough. It was tough. There's some real difficulties from it. My mom did her very best. I was so blessed to have a mom who loved me. Just like all the single parents today who love their children, they do their very best to guide them and to love them and to nurture them and to help them grow up into what you'd have them. Thank God for single moms and dads who will take after and watch after the children. I love how the Amplified Bible says the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 18. Listen to this. If you really love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome, or take to its heart, because it does not see him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, comfortless, bereaved, forlorn, or helpless. I will come back to you. Do we know Holy Spirit as these things? Taking heed to the rhema of the word that he's speaking here. As a comforter, in Acts 9:31 it says, then the churches throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and were edified and were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. A counselor in Revelation, I counsel to you, buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Buy, counsel you to buy gold from Jesus. Acts 6:22. As a helper, therefore having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing to both small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come. an intercessor. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also help us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Holy Spirit can do more for us with one groan than we can with many words. Just groan one time for us, Holy Spirit, and intercede for us today. As an advocate, Mark 13:11. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, when they arrest you, he was speaking to the disciples, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. How many times have you been in a situation and all of a sudden words come out of your mouth? Didn't know what to say, and all of a sudden there it is. Sometimes it's even like this. I didn't even know I knew that. Honest to goodness, there's times I'm standing up here speaking stuff and stuff comes out. I said, I didn't study that. Where'd that come from? Strengthener, Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound in hope. Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who needs a good dose of hope? I talk about you too, Hope, but yeah. We all need hope. We do. You talk about getting weighed down, having a heavy heart. Lose hope. Walk around with a heavy heart, all weighed down, burdened up. Holy Spirit. A standby, Acts 18, verses 9 and 10. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Do you know the Holy Spirit is with you right now? And you walk out that front door, He will be with you right then. And you go to work in the morning, and He'll be with you and help you and guide you. He'll help you do your work. Such encouraging words from God's Word. His Word never changes, guys. It'll never pass away. It's always absolutely true. You know what? He is all this and so much more. Just by taking heed to His Word. I have one more word, and we have time. Last word about taking heed, okay? 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Paul speaking to Timothy. Paul's no longer with Timothy. Paul has left Timothy in Ephesus. And he's saying this in the 4th chapter. I'm going to start in verse 13. Till I come, give attention to reading. Give attention. Take heed. Give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you to you by prophecy. Apparently they prophesied over Timothy with the laying on hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. And take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those that hear you. You see, Paul is exhorting Timothy and the church under him to live uprightly. You see, Ephesus had become a hotbed at the time of false teaching. Many had come into the church and they were teaching false doctrine. They were teaching bad things. Who knows, it's easy when the anointed one is there, when the anointed one there is speaking, it's easy to stay around him and live for God and live right. But what happens when we get away? Anybody got a leaky bucket? I don't think it's as much as leaky bucket as it is the tempter comes. The cares of this life come. Things happen to us and they draw us away. It gets our attention. We get influenced by an influencer that draws away our attention. And he's telling Timothy, he says, read the word. Read the word. Read it all the time. Exhort each other about Jesus all the time. Get together and talk about Jesus. Give our attention to doctrines of the Scripture. Who knows, the Bible is full of stuff. Doctrines, ways to live to not fall away from. Watch over the anointing. I'm telling you, that is such a word. Stir up the gift that is in us. Holy Spirit, if you ignore something, it falls away. It's no different. It's no different. The gift he's given you. Do you speak in tongues? Do you speak in the Holy Spirit? Do it often. Get into a prayer closet and just let it loose. Let it go. Stir up the gift. Do you read the word and Holy Spirit speak through you to it? Get alone. Get alone with that word and read it. Read it and let Holy Spirit stir up that gift. And he said. Then he says this, meditate on all this and give yourself entirely to this. That means lay everything else down. Set it aside. Get your attention on Jesus. Give yourself entirely. Well, if I do that, I'm going to have to give up this. Yep. You might have to give something up. Sure might. Yep. We're going to have to let that down. Because you know what happens? What the cares of the world, what you're all about? It's something that weighs us down. It weighs our heart down. Give ourselves entirely to this. Don't get extracted or distracted by this. It will save you and those around you. God wants to speak to us through His Holy Spirit, through His Word. It's how He wants to do it. He doesn't want to have to send angels to us every day to speak to us. He doesn't want to have to do that. He doesn't want to have to speak to us audibly. Guys, what if all God's going to do is whisper today? Real quiet. We'll be in a place to hear Him. If all He's doing is whispering, will we be there? Would we hear Him? You know, we don't want to have to yell at our children, do we? We'd prefer not to ever have to yell at our child again. We'd love to just be able to talk with them and guide them. You know, my mom saved a lot of what she had to say to me. You know, I'm going to have to tell your dad about this. That only came out at special times. You know what? God never spoke to Saul again like another time like He did the day on Damascus Road. One time event. Had to get Paul's attention. Paul had to be converted. But once he was converted, once he'd accepted Him, things changed. Everything changed. Do you hear Him speaking by the Holy Spirit? Have you settled yourself enough and got quiet enough to hear what He has to say? Psalms 119:9 again says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. You know what the most difficult thing for me to do is? To hear God when somebody says, I need you to get a word from the Lord for me. Because then I'm under the gun. You know what I'm saying? It's like when someone comes up to get prayed for healing. It's the hardest thing in the world. Because you know what we immediately do? We get into a mode of, I got to work up enough faith to receive this healing. Faith is not a muscle you can work up. Doesn't work that way. I heard a minister I respect so greatly. He said this about what he does. He's getting ready to hold a big healing, and the miracles just follow this man, Bill Johnson. And he said what he does before he gets ready to speak so many times, he'll sneak out into the audience before the service begins, and he'll go around that audience, and he'll find people that need healing, and he'll pray for them then, and they will receive many more times then than when they come down for healing, because they start, you know, I got to receive. You see, faith only comes through surrender. You ready to surrender? Hearing Holy Spirit. So many times when I sit down and I begin to prepare, I can't hear a thing when I'm trying to get the word to start with. But when I'm just sitting there and I'm kind of looking out the window and kind of reading through Scripture, all of a sudden, I can hear something. Because I'm not trying. He thinks, finally, oh, hard head here. I'm trying to be honest with you. It's how it is for me. I don't know about you. This is how it is for me. When I really try, I can't. But when I surrender and I get quiet, He comes and speaks to me. He does. And here's what I'll say about this message. I believe I've gotten a glimpse of what's coming this year. And I want this to be an encouragement to you, because there's some really tough things coming this year. It's going to be, I think Frank's exactly right, it's going to be an amazing, glorious year. God's going to do some wonderful things. But how many would hear would say, I'd love to hear God's audible voice. You know what I'd tell you? No, you don't. No, you don't. Because if He comes with this audible voice, you know what it's going to be? Yeah. It's going to be a big change. It's going to be hard times or just fruit basket upset. What you want is to hear how He wants to speak to us through His Word, through Holy Spirit. Receive how He wants to speak to His children, that's you and me, every day. That's how. That's what, you know, when you sit down with your quiet time and you're listening and you've laid all else aside, you got the TV, put foot through it, and, you know, you turned off all that devices, all those apps, TikTok, you know, Instagram, Facebook, emails, Gmails. My goodness, turn it all off. Turn it all off. Be encouraged. He wants to speak to you. You were designed to hear from Him. When He'd got that dirt together back in the garden, He gave you two ears, spiritual ears, to hear what God is saying. Where would we be without Him? Let's pray.